Our next speaker is Reverend Rodney Klein from our Trinity Protestant Reformed Church in Hudsonville, and we'd like to welcome him here now.
Good afternoon. It's a joy to be here with you today and to have this invitation to speak. We live in a day when very few take the scripture seriously, and especially when very few take the biblical guidelines for women seriously. We live in a day when it's very difficult to be serious about these things. There are pressures on women to conform to the world's standards for women. And we live in a day when it's more important than ever before that women live according to the biblical pattern. There's so much in our homes, in our marriages, in the church that is dependent on the biblical pattern for women. And so I appreciate the interest in the conference and I appreciate the invitation to be a part of it. The topic that was assigned me is this: women being thankful and finding joy in submitting to God's will. Being thankful, finding joy, and submitting to God's will. There are three ideas there, and I want to focus on the middle one, finding joy in your calling. And this is the thesis of my speech. Women will find joy by submitting to God's will and being thankful for their task. Women will find joy through submitting to God's will and being thankful for their task. The verses that I was given were verses 19 and 20, speaking to yourselves, of Ephesians 5, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to fit that with the theme of women walking in wisdom and understanding what the will of the Lord is. So there are three things I want to look at here. One is that we find joy through submitting to God's will. The second is that we find joy, women will find joy in their task by being thankful for their task. And then I want to finish with several other practical guidelines to joy. Women can have joy in their calling. The scriptures present that not only as a possibility, but as a reality. In Psalm 113 and verse 9, speaking of God being a God who blesses with many gifts and being a God of merciful and a God whom we should praise, it says this: He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. There the mother of children is presented as joyful in her calling. In Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 25, that's the chapter on the virtuous woman, the Proverbs 31 woman, it says, She shall rejoice in time to come. And there are biblical examples of joyful women in their calling. Sarah, when she becomes a mother, says, God has made me to laugh, and all that hear will laugh with me. Hannah said, My heart rejoices in the Lord. Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit rejoiceth in the God of my salvation. So certainly there can be joy in a woman's calling. The joy that we speak of is not a superficial, giddy, happy for today, smile plastered on your face kind of joy. Certainly, that's a way to express our joy. And we do meet people who express their joy that way very frequently. And those people are a blessing to all of us to have somebody in your life, in your congregation, who's a very smiley, uplifting kind of a character. It's a great blessing. But that's not chiefly what we're talking about here. The joy we're talking about this afternoon is contentment and fulfillment and pleasure in the calling that God has given you. Contentment, fulfillment, and pleasure in the calling that God has given you. Now that kind of joy is attainable for women. You can have joy, contentment, fulfillment, and pleasure in your calling. Maybe you think in some situations that that kind of joy is unattainable. There are many things in a woman's calling and in different aspects of her calling that maybe stand in the way of that joy. There's a daily monotony of your calling that Reverend Vanoverloop described so well last night. Oftentimes you feel as though your calling is thankless. You're not noticed for what you do. Perhaps you're so busy in your calling that there's no time to think about happiness. Maybe there's loneliness, even just this lack of adult companionship. It's children and children and children day and night. Perhaps you have a difficult marriage situation. Maybe you have children that are a burden to you and cause grief. Then there are pressures, perhaps burdens placed on a mother and a wife in the home to make things work in a very difficult situation, a financial situation that's difficult. A situation in which there are health problems with children, marital problems, and the pressure is on to make things work, and it's on you. Maybe there are pressures on you from the world, but even from others, to conform to a certain standard, a level of living. And then there are other burdens that women have. There are single women, there are divorced women, there are widows. And God says in all these situations, they're childless women, God says in all these situations, joy is possible in your calling. Now before we go on and look at the three things that we want to look at this afternoon for that, we should see this too, that joy isn't an option. It's a calling. There are plenty of places in Scripture that command us to joy. Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And Paul isn't just saying rejoice when you feel like it. You can't be governed by feelings, but rejoice in the Lord. There's an imperative. There are exhortations to contentment. There are exhortations to being pleased with God's will for our life. There are exhortations to thanksgiving in every situation. In the passage, the verses that we read, I think this is stated more clearly than anywhere else in the Scripture, Ephesians 5, verse 20, giving thanks always and for all things unto God and the Father. There's no exceptions. Always and in all things, thanksgiving. Now those exhortations certainly are for every believer, every Christian, but that includes women. And women must find joy in their calling. The way to find joy is to begin by recognizing that you need to find it. And if you don't have it, if you're not rejoicing, thankful, finding pleasure in the calling God's given you, that's a sinful behavior. Saying to God, your will for me isn't good. And the beginning is to deal with that sinful attitude. Now the first thing here that I want to emphasize is that joy comes through recognizing and submitting to the will of God. Joy comes through recognizing and submitting to the will of God. I want to take into account things that were said here, the main points really of the two other speeches. Reverend Vanoverloop emphasized last night that we are in Jesus Christ. And when we talk about joy in our calling that begins with recognizing that we are in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord, says Paul in Philippians. And so joy is going to come first by finding ourselves as Christians in Jesus Christ with a particular calling and place, being in Jesus Christ. The other thing that we want to take into account here is that God has a will for those who are in Jesus Christ. Reverend Branksmith said this morning, I'm speaking here to believing women, women who are in Christ. And then he spoke of God's will for believing women. And that's what we want to do. That's what we need to recognize here. When we recognize God's will and realize that in Christ, that's his will for us, then we will learn to submit to that and to be joyful. When we talk about the will of God, we're not talking about the hidden purposes of God. The will of God is not some mysterious, hidden, undiscovered secret that you find only through dreams and special revelations and experiences and visions. But the will of God is clearly revealed in the Scripture, and that will is not vague or unknown, but it's God's demands for your life in the present. Now, you've heard about God's will. You've heard about what that will for you is last night, this morning, in your sectionals. I want to just give a very brief summary of what God's will for women in the church is, believing women. And as I give this doesn't cover everything. It doesn't describe it all. But very simply, from the Scripture, God's will is this, that in the church, women are to be silent, that is, they're not to have official positions of teaching and authority. And in the home, women are to bring forth children and to bear and rear those children. Certainly God's will for women is much more than that. That doesn't describe all the glamour and the glory of this will, and we'll talk about that a little later on too. But this is basically God's will. 1 Timothy 2, verses 11 and 12. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. And 1 Timothy 2, 15, notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. That's the basic summary of God's purpose for women in the church and in the kingdom. Yes, it's broader, but that's basically it. Now, joy for a woman comes in finding herself in, as a Christian, in God's will and submitting to that. Obedience is the only way to joy. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Psalm 40, verse 8. I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. Psalm 119, verse 16. I will delight myself in thy statutes. Verse 47. I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I love. Verse 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Now those texts teach, very simply, when we walk in the way of obedience, then we delight ourselves in God. Then we find delight and joy in our lives. And they imply this too, that where a woman doesn't walk in obedience, she won't find joy in her calling. The woman who is disobedient to God's will for women in the church and women in their created place, a woman who perhaps because of her liberal tendencies refuses to be married and be a mother simply because she wants to be liberated from men, the married woman who refuses to give birth to children, the mother who will not stay at home with her children and be a homemaker, those women disobeying God's will never find joy in their calling. It's in obedience to God, doing what His will is, that we find this peace and joy. Now we should realize about the will of God that just as God is good and just as God is wise, so God's will is good and God's will is wise. This is what's best for women. This is what's best for God and His cause in the earth. This is what's best for the church. And certainly for us to find contentment with God's will is recognizing those things about His will. And now I could speak to women here who aren't married, perhaps single, perhaps widowed, perhaps divorced, in difficult situations. The way, you know this from your experience, the way to find joy and contentment is to realize this is God's will. This is best for me now. God is wise. So first, we find joy in following God's will. That's wisdom. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And that's the way to joy and thanksgiving. The second thing is that a woman will find joy by being thankful for her task, by looking at what God has given her to do in her unique situation as a woman, and being thankful that He has given her that work to do. Now again, that requires living by faith in God, in His goodness, in His wisdom, in His way for us. It's not going to be easy to be thankful when you don't live by faith. When you look at large piles of dirty laundry, it's not going to be easy to be thankful when you look at a house full of hungry mouths that need to be fed again and again and again. In fact, if that's all you look at, you'll wonder how somebody could ever sing Psalter number 360, The Joys of Motherhood. You wonder how the Bible could ever speak in Psalm 113, verse 9, of a mother being a joyful mother of children. You can't do this by looking at simply the things in front of you, the task of your day-to-day life. If you did that, you'd look at your calling as just an incredible and an impossible burden. Taking on the task, the biblical task and role of a woman is like taking on a long-term, lifelong commitment to being a full-time servant to others. That's what motherhood is. It's demanding, demanding of all your resources. If you want to talk about multi-skilling, it's the mother who multi-skills more than anybody else in this world. She's a woman who does laundry and house cleaning. She's an organizer of daily activities for the family. She studies books to teach children. She prepares meals. She counsels husbands and teenagers. She's a nurse, she's a family accountant, she's a dietitian, she's an entertainer, and so we could go on. That's the woman's task. And it seems so much looking at that and trying to find joy just by looking at that, it seems so much like a thankless task. Who understands or knows what a mother does, what a woman does? Who knows the struggles and pains of a woman's soul in her role, her biblical role? Who knows what she goes through? Who could put a price tag on what a woman does? We can't just look at the tasks, the day-to-day tasks that we have as women in order to find true gratitude and joy in our calling. We need to look at our tasks with the eye of faith, to see the great purposes of God in a woman's role and to see the use that God has for women in His great scheme of things. And there are two things here. One is that women there are two things to recognize here about a woman's calling in Scripture as to its purpose. And the one is this, that a woman is saved by following her God-given calling. And when you see that and recognize that, then you can be thankful for the work that God has given you to do. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, the Apostle Paul, writing about women, says, "Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety." Now the question is, what does that mean? What's salvation mean here, and so on? Salvation here does not mean the forgiveness of sins, so that a woman, by going through the pain of childbearing and the pain of rearing children and all the anguish that's associated with that, does some kind of penance and achieves forgiveness and righteousness before God. That's certainly not the idea. Rather, when Paul talks about a woman being saved in childbearing, he means that this is the pathway of salvation that God has worked out ordinarily for women. The God-ordained pathway to glory. For everyone, there's a pathway to glory. There's a pathway for the single person. There's a pathway for the widowed person. There's a pathway for the childless woman. There's a pathway for every man in his calling. That pathway includes whatever the responsibilities are that God has placed in front of you in your particular place. One person's pathway as a man is to be a painter. Another is to be an accountant. Another is some other occupation. And now the scriptures say that ordinarily this is the pathway for women, that they bear children. God says that's the way for women. And now, especially for married women, to whom God has given the gift of having children, this is the pathway to salvation for you. Following God's pathway, submitting to His purposes in my present circumstances as a woman, is the way to my salvation. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. There's a guiding by God's will through everybody's life that leads to glory. God has a pathway, and He has a particular pathway with a particular calling for women. When we see that, then we see that whatever our pathway is, it's an act of God's mercy that He gives us what He gives us to do in life. God doesn't just curse Eve and all women in her with the pangs of being a mother and of bringing forth children. God doesn't just curse us by bringing affliction and trial in our life, whatever the circumstances of our life are. But God, in every instance, turns the curse into a blessing, so that the curse, the difficulty, the trial, the burden, the pain of childbearing, the curse that came on Eve, "In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children," all those things are used by God in the life of His children as part of their route to glory. And so we see everything as an act of mercy toward them. It's His mercy that He gives women the place that He gives them in the church and in the home. In the end, your way is the way of triumph. The way of triumph over the curse. When you see that, then you can be thankful for what God has given you. When you see yourself in Jesus Christ and in the will of God, in this greater scheme and plan that God has, this purpose that God has, then you'll learn to be thankful for what you have and your task. The other purpose in a woman's calling has to do with her place in the covenant and her place in the church. Again, it fits with that text in 1 Timothy 2, verse 15, and the bringing forth of children. A woman's role has to do not only with her own salvation, but with the salvation of the church. And a woman needs to recognize the glory and the beauty and the splendor of the task that she has been given, and then she'll find joy in that task. Eve, in the beginning, put her faith in God's promise, enmity between thee and the woman, and thy seed and her seed. And because Eve put her faith in that promise of God, she rejoiced when she brought forth children, and she called them names like given of the Lord, things like that. And what she was confessing was joy in bringing forth children. Believing the promises, this is the way all the Old Testament women lived and rejoiced in bringing forth children. Sarah, Hannah, we mentioned their songs of joy. They rejoiced because they were bringing forth the church. And when they were bringing forth the seed, the promised seed, they were bringing forth Jesus Christ. He was in the womb of the Old Testament church, and they rejoiced in that. Now, we're beyond the birth of Jesus Christ, and we might say, well, we can't have the same desire and the same joy in bringing forth children, can we? And God's answer to that is, yes, you can. It's really the same. Not now Christ comes from your womb, but the church comes from the womb of New Testament believing women. And it's not until every elect child has been born that the church is completed, that the full salvation of the church will come. And a woman, as she looks at her calling, and now particularly her calling in the church to be one who brings forth children, rejoices in that. What a wonder that God creates a life in my womb, and that I'm the servant and the instrument to bring this life into the church. And that now he uses me to teach and to instruct and to influence this child. And that this child then becomes another brick in the church of God, in his building project of gathering the elect church. And he employs me in putting that stone into its place in his temple. What a glorious and what a high calling the woman has. That makes that calling very important. It's the only calling that a woman, that anyone can take on that has lasting and enduring and eternal results. Working in an office, accomplishing great things in the business world, perhaps becoming president of the United States of America as a woman, there's no lasting significance to that. But there is in this, bringing forth children. That serves the salvation of the church, the birth of another soldier for the army of Christ, another one to fight in the army, to overcome the kingdom of Satan. It's the work in the home, is the equipping of another soldier in the army to fight that battle with weapons, the weapons of faith and the word of God that overcome the enemy. That will stand. That will stand forever. That will stand in heaven as a testimony to the godly woman of what she did and of the importance, her importance, in the church of Jesus Christ. What a calling. There are plenty of people to take the place of any other occupation that there is, to replace a male in whatever his work is. But try and replace
a believing, godly mother in the home. Take her from her children and try and put somebody else in her place. There is no replacement. This is the most glorious of callings. Now, when you look at your task from that point of view, the way to your salvation, it's used by God in the saving of His church, then certainly you can be thankful for your task and find joy in the work that God has given to you. Then you can praise God for a snotty nose and dirty diapers and hungry mouths and messy rooms, because every hungry mouth is the mouth of a hungry soul. Every dirty room is the room of someone with a dirty, sinful heart that God uses you as a woman to teach, to instruct, and to equip. What a calling. Be thankful always in all things. I think when we realize what God has given, we certainly can do that. And this calling, with regard to the church of tomorrow, isn't something that belongs only to mothers with little children. Think of 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5 that talks about not only Eunice, but also Lois, the grandmother of Timothy. This is a calling, the training and equipping of the church of tomorrow is a calling that belongs to grandmothers. They're busy and they can be busy in this work as well. And to other women in the church too, there are many ways that women can use their gifts for the children of the church and for the sake of the salvation of the church of tomorrow. Think about schools and think of how many women have taught in those schools, and think of how many schools began because women were willing to teach in those schools, and take those women away and we wouldn't have our Christian schools. What a place in the life of the church and kingdom. When you see your task for what it is and you're thankful for it, then you find joy in following that work that God has given. Now for the rest, I want to give some additional things for finding joy, just some random thoughts, maybe not random thoughts, but all the other thoughts that I had, practical guidelines perhaps you could call them, and I have seven more things, so I'll try and be brief with each of them. The first thing I want to say is this, that for a woman to find joy in her calling, she needs to be walking with the Lord in daily prayer and devotions. We've heard about that more than once here. It was sung about last night, and we need to hear about that again when we talk about finding joy in our calling. Certainly that's the idea in Ephesians 5 verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And that's talking about a personal walk with the Lord in one's mind through the use of music. And I think that's very applicable to a woman's life. A woman's life can be busy. Sometimes she finds very little time to set aside for personal devotions. And here, the Word of God saying, well, be engaged in this kind of walk with the Lord throughout your day, meditating. That's the whole idea of this verse. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, knowing the Word of God and speaking it in your mind to yourself. And now using the gift of music in that. And God's given us music to impress on our minds some beautiful teachings of Scripture. And that's what music does. And now he's saying, use music that way. In your own mind, singing to yourselves. Those devotions that a woman has don't need, and Reverend Branksma mentioned this too, don't need and shouldn't focus exclusively on her calling as a woman. Yes, that's a part of it. But a woman needs a constant diet of all of God's Word so that her mind is filled with spiritual and godly thoughts. God has given to women, just as men, an intellect, and God wills that women use that intellect in learning the Scriptures and the teaching of Scriptures. Mary sat at Jesus' feet, and Jesus says of Mary, she chose the better part. It's better for her to sit and learn these things that I'm teaching than what Martha was doing, cumbered about with much service. Both need to be there, but there needs to be a place for women to learn. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, talks about the mind of the believer. The Apostle Paul talks about what we should think about. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. That comes right after verse 6, where he talks about anxiety. Be careful or be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. There's devotions. And then fill your mind with these gospel thoughts, things true and lovely and pure and honest and just, and so on. And a woman in her devotional life needs to be getting a well-rounded diet of all that there is in the Word of God and growing in the knowledge of God, so that her mind can be occupied with those things as she goes about her work. And then pray. Learn to pray. Pray for yourself, yes, but not just for yourself. Pray for your family, your husband, and learn to intercede for others in the Church of Jesus Christ. And pray. Pray that way so that you learn to appreciate what you have. When you pray for others, God gives you to see that you should be thankful for what you have. This too, women can be used by God in a mighty way through the gift of prayer in the church. Now women wonder, what gifts do I have to use in the church? Well, here's a gift that every woman has, every member of the church has, that they can use. To pray. There's always a need, a needy person to pray for, to pray with. There's always the cause and work of the church and the gospel which needs our prayers. So you'll find your joy in this daily walk with God. Second, take pride and joy, or take pride in yourself and in your work, and do your work well. Take pride in yourself and in your work, and do your work well. God has made you a woman. And with that, He's given you womanly physical characteristics. And even though the Bible says that your real beauty as a woman doesn't consist in those things, the Bible doesn't say that you may not or should not care about your appearance. A slob is a lazy person, and a lazy person is an unhappy person. The Scripture gives us the example of a lazy person so that we can learn from it. In Proverbs chapter 24, at the end of the chapter, this is what Solomon says, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down, and I saw and considered it well, I looked upon it, and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that troubleth. And he says that a lazy person is a person who ends up ruining him or herself. Dress like a woman. Take care for yourself. Take care of yourself. That will give you a sense of your calling, a sense of who you are as a woman in your home. It might even make your husband come home and smile when he sees you, because he prefers not to see a flaw. Along with that, do your work well. Don't do your work half-heartedly, as though it's not important. Make the work that you have to do as a wife and a mother and a woman important. Make your mealtimes events. Take pride in the way that you set the table and dress the children and keep the house. The Bible talks about being diligent in business, fervent, about doing things heartily as unto the Lord, and using the resources and the gifts that we have in that way. That's another way to joy in your calling. The third thing I have here is this: avoid complaining and avoid thinking complaints and feeling sorry for yourself. There's plenty to complain about. You can complain about your work, it's so hard. You can complain about the lack of thanks that you get, no one notices, everybody just expects me to do these things. You can complain about the lack of help that you get, I do this all by myself. You can complain about the ones whom you have to serve as a wife, your husband and your children. There's always something to complain about, but that does nothing except breed discontent and unhappiness in your calling. Keep your eyes on God to avoid this complaining. Colossians 3, whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. And keep your eyes there and avoid this complaining. Fourth, do not covet what is not yours. Do not covet what is not yours. By that I mean, don't be envious of others, men or women, and what the Lord has given to them. Don't be envious of others, men or women, and what the Lord has given to them. For one, you never actually know what another person has. It might look attractive, but you don't really know. Part of your feeling and thinking is, nobody knows me. Nobody knows my burden. Nobody knows what I have to do in a day. My husband doesn't even understand. Well, the point is, you don't know what others go through. So don't covet what God has given to others and not you. If you're coveting another's position or what another has, Satan has you where he wants you. This is the nature of Eve's temptation in the beginning. If Satan could just get Eve to focus on what was forbidden, and he did. You can't eat that fruit, Eve. And Eve takes her eyes off all the other glorious things and good things that God had given her in the garden, and she looks at this, I can't have this. And as soon as she's thinking like that, Satan's got her ready to fall. We need to focus not on what we can't have, but on what we do have and what we can do in God's kingdom and his purposes. Focus on the opportunities that you have, on the work that you have, and not what you do not have. In the fifth place, realize this, that true Christian joy always comes through being a servant. True Christian joy always comes through being a servant. Now there's no more powerful way to demonstrate that than by looking at the cross of Jesus Christ and what He has done for us there, Hebrews 12 verses 1 and 2, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame. And He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, to be a servant, and to give His life a ransom for many. And Philippians 2, He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but He put that aside and He became a servant. He made Himself subject to death, the death of the cross, to serve us. And it's through that that God exalted Him. His joy came through serving, and that's certainly an important principle in every believer's life. In 1 John 1 verse 4, John writing about the purpose, what's the purpose of 1 John? He says, "These things we write unto you, that your joy might be full." So he's writing the first epistle so that believers can have a joy that's full. And now what does he write about in 1 John? Love. Being a servant. Loving one another. And your joy is full, he says, only when you love with the love that God has for us. Philippians chapter 2, the same idea. There be any consolation, any comfort of love, fulfill my joy. Be like-minded. And then have the mind of Christ. And then the example of Christ's way to glory through serving. And now if it's particularly the woman's calling, and I think this is the definition of every Christian's calling, but if it's particularly now the woman's calling to be a servant, don't you think that while you serve, and because you have so many extra opportunities to serve, you'll especially find joy? See? By giving you a place of service, God has given you a fountain of joy, a mine of joy as you serve. I say that's the calling of every Christian. It is. Submit yourself to one another. Bear one another's burdens. That's the calling in the church. The husband is a husband and a head and a leader by being a servant to his wife and his children. The minister, the office bearers in the church, they are servants to the church. The word minister, the word deacon, those words mean servant. The only way they find joy in their calling is by giving themselves, serving the church in their calling. The sixth thing here is this: be your husband's friend. Be your husband's friend. There's the way to joy. There are many women who push away their husbands rather than bringing them alongside as a friend by nagging their husbands and complaining to their husbands. And only when things are just their way do they stop nagging and complaining. Now the Bible talks about brawling and contentious women, women that are like a continual dripping on a very rainy day. Why does it talk about that, do you think? Well, because there are women like that. And because we have a tendency, sinful tendency, everyone, to be like that. I was talking to men. They say the same thing. You drive away your wife. You put a wedge into your relationship by being a complainer or a nag. It drives, the Bible says, it drives men to housetops to have women wives like this. If you want to be a supportive, or if you want a supportive and caring husband, be a friend to him. Listen to him as much as you'd expect him to listen to you. Ken Smith from the Biblical Counseling Center in Jenison suggests this, and I've used it in talking to different married couples, that at the end of the day, he calls it 3-on-3, At the end of the day, when the man comes home from work, there's 6 minutes set aside for the man and the wife to talk with one another. 3 minutes for the wife, and she says, I need 3 hours. 3 minutes for the husband, and he says, I don't have 3 minutes worth. But 3 minutes each, and set that 6 minutes. 6 minutes, what's that? 6 minutes to communicate with one another. To build daily a friendship around that. I've used it in talking to married couples, and some have said it's been helpful. All right, the seventh and the last thing I have here is find joy in the fruits of your work, and now especially the spiritual fruits of the spiritual aspects of your labor. Third John, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. That's not only a future joy that you have as an elderly person, a widow, but there's a joy that you can have in that every day in your life. You'll find in the talk of your children, in the prayers of your children, in the response of your husband to your spirituality, in the response of others in the church to your place and labors in the church, you'll find fruits of your own spiritual teaching, encouragement to others. Now maybe that's hard to see, but when on Christmas morning the church sits down for a Sunday school program, there we see the fruits of what mothers have done. When finally a teenager stands up and makes confession of faith in the church, there's the fruit of a mother's labor. And there's no greater joy than that, is there? That takes us back again to recognizing the glorious calling and place in the church and being thankful to God and rejoicing in that. Well, thanks for your attention and thanks for being godly women in the church.